Welcome to Cascade Connects, a podcast focusing on the people and events in the Cascade Collegiate Conference. Here is your host, CCC Commissioner Robert Cashel.
Welcome to this edition of Cascade Connects. I'm your host, Commissioner Rob Cashel, and super excited for this edition of track and field, looking back to the indoor season and looking forward to the outdoor. Going to be joined today first by Joel Pearson, head coach at Evergreen State College, and with him is standout athlete Isabel Treffs. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. We're glad to be here.
Well, Isabel, I'm going to start with you. First of all, huge congratulations on your national championship in the 3,000 race walk at Indoor Nationals.
Thank you.
Isabel, the race walk, at least to a lot of people in the United States, is a fairly unknown event. I mean, and it's hard to wrap your mind around it, right?
Yeah.
But boy, there's such technique to it. But can you give me a little bit of history behind the actual event and how, number one, the history behind it, and then how did you get into it?
So I started when I was really young. I started at 5 years old. Nobody had really heard of it before. Like, I'm from Maine, and my mom kind of, she heard of it briefly, and then my sister was like, okay, I want to try that. And so then I was like, okay, I want to try that too. And then I was successful in it, and I've done it ever since then. So.
Well, and when people hear race walk, you think you're just walking around and you're walking as fast as you can, but there's unbelievable technique and real specific rules to doing it correctly. So Joel, talk to me a little bit about, you know, that aspect of it in the rules of it and how really precise it is as an event.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we spend a lot of our time race walking, a lot of our time training, and Isabel and Katie are really good at making sure that obviously their form and their technique is really going into the training. We want to make sure that most of our workouts are done with proper techniques. That way we're getting used to the specificity of, you know, having the actual events and the races. You talked about the history, you know, voted into the Olympics in the late 1890s. It was part of the all around or combined events that they called it. And in those early Olympics. And so race walking has been around for a long time. It's obviously now has two events in the Olympics and the world track and field championships. So it's important for us, not only as an NAI school, but as a track and field program, to be attentive to having athletes in those events. And when it comes to the technique, I mean, I don't have to spend much time with Izzy. She knows exactly what she's doing and how to walk and how not to walk. And that's been kind of thankful to her upbringing, you know, as a race walker, as a youth, and as well as her mom getting into the sports and then and what she did at Columbia College. And so don't have to spend too much with it. That's something Katie and Izzy spent a lot of time with, but we're really excited about not only being a school in the NAI, but a school that actually represents race walking and has athletes that are doing that at the highest level.
Yeah, and I'll call you Izzy like your coach is calling you, but Izzy, you on your bio for Evergreen, you talk about the reason you sought out Evergreen was to be coached by elite coaches, and Joel has referenced Katie Burnett, your primary coach in the race walk, I believe, and decorated national and international athlete. But tell me a little bit, obviously, what drew you to her specifically, and then obviously to Evergreen State?
So I think growing up, I didn't really have like a race walk community to like train with. And then at my previous school, I had other race walkers that were there with me, but I felt like I was the one like setting the pace for a lot of things, and so I didn't feel especially challenged. And so like once I found Evergreen and found that like Katie was like here, I just got super excited because I'm like, now I can finally have someone that's gonna push me and just to be able to like train with her, like it's so fun because, you know, we're both working hard together and I feel like we both help each other and challenge each other on different days. So I think it's just so like fun to be able to train with her. So
And Joel, you mentioned about having it in the NAIA and in our conference, and it's growing in our conference. You guys obviously have had race walkers the last several years. British Columbia also has a strong race walking program and contingency. They've had national champions as well. And periodically, we've had folks at other Cascade schools, but do you see that even growing even more as we have more exposure to it?
Yeah, I do. I mean, not only at our conference level, but the national level. I think at the conference level, just the other coaches seeing that, UBC's had success in it. We've had success in it. I think in the past, as you alluded to, other Cascade Conference schools have had success in it. But at the national level, this is the first year they had prelims for the women's 3,000 meter race walk. And so in the past, someone like Izzy would just race on day two, everyone straight to finals. And it's grown so much to the point to where we have prelims now. So that those men and women prelims run day one for the race walk in indoor nationals. And the finals on day two. And that's a test to not only how much it's growing as far as participation, but the talent level as well. I think when Izzy won nationals for Columbia College 2 years ago, she went 14:30 low. And then this year, I think 14:40 was like fifth place. And so having, just so many more walkers and so many more competitive walkers is really beneficial for the sport. So I do see that it's grown in the last few years and it'll continue to grow. And I'm hoping that some schools in our conference see this and decide to recruit some race walkers because the more they recruit, the better we have to do, better we have to do, better athletes are, and just kind of goes back and forth like that.
And right now at conference, we have it at our conference meet. Currently, it's not scored. It's more as a national qualifier if you need it. But I see that continuing to grow as well. Joel and Izzy, I want to swing back to Katie a little bit. She was going to join us today, but prior to the program, you let me know she's in Budapest. Internet is a little spotty right now where she's at. But Joel, is she competing right now, or heck, maybe she's recruiting.
No.
What is she competing currently?
Well, we wish she was recruiting, but yeah, she's competing. And so she race walked at the USA 35 championships in January, and she won the US championship. So that gets her a lot of points for the World Track and Field Championships in Tokyo. Now, to be able to fully qualify for Tokyo, she has to get some more world ranking points. So one of the ways to do that is she's competing in Slovakia on Saturday, so in Budapest now, and then sled over to Slovakia, and that'll be at the Danska 35K. I probably pronounced that name wrong. And there'll be about, oh gosh, 30, 40 women from around the world competing there in the 35K. So kind of when Izzy talked about training together, it's nice that not only are they both training together and training at a high level together, but she has someone that's, winning the US championships, trying to make the World Track and Field Championships in Tokyo as someone who's guiding her kind of so she can do that herself in the future. And so we're really excited just about not only having, like I mentioned, multiple race walkers, but just that plethora of just elite levelism that comes to our practices kind of daily. And we're hoping to just grow from that. But yeah, she didn't get on the call because she's cooler than we are. So she's in Europe having fun.
Exactly. Izzy, I want to go back to the race walk itself, and again, I'm not sure how we can actually present this to our viewers, but it's grueling. 3K race walk is it's hard. It's not just a leisurely walk around the track. Talk to me a little bit about your conditioning and what you do to prepare yourself for that, because again, I've seen our race walkers, and they are spent by the end of it, just like any of our other athletes in any other event.
Yeah, for sure. I think especially since being at Evergreen, I've done a lot of tempo-ish stuff, so I feel like where all our paces are getting faster, and it gets easier to go that pace. That has been like the biggest thing that has helped me. That's something that I've done in both my race walking and my running training here. And so like on my easier runs, which they would at Columbia, they were like 8:30 pace, and I was struggling, and now I'm down to low 10 or low 7 minutes for my easy run pace. And that's something I've noticed in walking too. Like I used to go over 10 minute pace, and now I'm in the 8 minutes, and it feels easy. And so I think that's something that has really helped me to not only like PR, but also just see my workouts like improving, and
I think something you alluded to that's really cool to note is for someone like Alana, who placed third in the 3K, so same event that she won the 3K in the internationals, Alana has to do long runs and semi-long runs and threshold workouts and tempo workouts and intervals and all the ancillary stuff like the weight room and drills. And even though that's running, this is race walking, she's still doing the long run, long walks, the long runs, the threshold runs, the threshold walks, the tempo runs, tempo walks, and all the stuff that's kind of like the weight room and the drills and everything. So just the same as someone would do in the actual running 3K outside of the technique and form, same training design. I mean, she has to do a long run and a long walk as a race walker, which is a lot more grueling than a runner who just has a long run. And so I think that there is some kind of tone around the country that she's out there just going slow. And I mean, if she's going to do a 10K or a 15K walk, it's probably going to be at 9:10 or 9:15 or 9:20 pace per mile or faster. And she had this workout recently where she did a hard mile and then some threshold and a hard mile. And this is race walking. And I think it was 7:25 for the first half hard mile and 7:17 for the second hard mile. And so, yeah, that kind of tone that she's out there just you're slogging along is pretty wrong.
Yeah, and that's again, that's where just your general fan of track and field might not understand what you just explained, Joel, is that tempo work and all of that work prior to that day where you're race walking is very similar in many respects to another mid-distance 3K runner.
Yeah, very similar, yeah.
Joel, I want to turn my attention to you just a little bit. I was looking at your bio. You've been at Evergreen since 2023. Kind of came in there. Number one, you're full of energy. You're always excited and you're ready to go at all of our track meets when I see you. But kind of a unique position, Zeb Hoffman, who is your now supervisor, was the track and field coach. So that's got to feel pretty good to have somebody who gets it. In that chair right above you. And not only is Zeb great and supportive of all of the athletic programs, but he's super knowledgeable in track and field in particular.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's kind of twofold how it's really beneficial. The first thing is I'm a graduate of the Evergreen State College, and so for me coming back here, and the first question I got when I took the job is why would you leave Division One to come to Evergreen? I mean, I think this is the best campus I've ever seen in my life. I mean, we have over 1,200 acres. It's a beautiful campus, and there's a unique style to Evergreen when it comes to academics and the way we recruit and how we coach. And Zeb gets it not only in the term of he was the former track coach, we'll get into that in a second, but he's a graduate of Evergreen State College as well. So just having someone who's my boss that understands, the academics here, the campus here, the just that the whole aura that we have at Evergreen, as well as someone who was a national champion in the hammer throw for Evergreen, someone who was the head track and field coach for about 5.5, 6 years, and I was the director, of athletics. That person just, I mean, he understands us and our student athletes on every level. And not to knock anywhere I've worked or any AD I've ever had, because I've worked for some incredible schools and some incredible ADs, but Zeb just really understands everything we're trying to accomplish, because not only did he accomplish it as a student at the same institution, but he wants it to be accomplished at the highest level as him being our leader. And so it's pretty epic to have, the person who's in charge be that guy. And then and anyone who's met Zeb, I mean, he's Zeb Hoffman. He's, like this wide, this big. I mean, he's man. So,
Yeah, he's an intimidating figure for sure.
I don't cross him. I won't, he says to do it, I'll do it.
Yeah, but he's also just a big teddy bear.
Yeah, for sure.
Zeb is a
Yeah.
big teddy bear. But
Yeah.
Izzy, that's gotta feel good as student athletes knowing that the leadership really truly knows what you go through day in and day out.
Oh, for sure. And I think Zeb is really good at get like knowing the athletes, which is something that I hadn't experienced in the past. Like the first time I met Zeb, he was like talking about my past national win, and he's like, oh, we're gonna get another one. And I was just like so grateful that like he acknowledged me and like actually took the time to like learn things that I had accomplished, and so that was something that I was really excited coming here.
Well, turning our attention to outdoor, because now that's where we're at. We're getting ready for outdoor competitions, and certainly Cascade Conference Championships will be coming up in May, and then also Nationals. Joel, tell me a little bit how you take your indoor athletes and kind of transition them to the outdoor season in terms of rest and recovery, and what will that look like?
Yeah, for sure. So starting with the second one first, the first thing when it comes to like restoration or rest and recovery, it's making sure that those athletes are cognitively or just emotionally feeling recovered. So when we have those breaks, how long the break is depends on that athlete and what they need. So, for Izzy, and I don't really want to speak too much for her, the indoor season was pretty light for her. We didn't race that much. We did have three races kind of in February or early March, but not racing a lot really helped with her to kind of train quite a bit and then be able to move forward. And for the nice thing about kind of moving for a race walker from indoor to outdoor is she can focus a little more on running. So I know that obviously the Zoom call comes from her winning nationals in the race walk, but her PR in the 5K about a month ago was 20:52, and now it's 18:52. And so
Wow.
being able to kind of watch her grow just athletically, whether that's race walk or running, has been really beneficial. So how we kind of turn that to outdoor, the rest part, just making sure that she's just emotionally, mental health wise, rest and moving forward. But the training doesn't change that much. And a lot of that is because we're actually getting her ready for US outdoors in the 20K in July. So while we're doing the 3K indoors, we're still doing a lot of volume that looks more like 10K, 15K, 20K. When we're getting ready for the 5K outdoors conference and NAI is a lot more volume looking like that 5K, 10K, and 20K. And the hope is to not just have Izzy be successful at Evergreen, outdoor this outdoor season, then next year indoor and outdoor, but also help her have that professional career as a race walker. Because I mean, for me, I mean, we look at I apologize for not remembering his name, but the steeplechaser from Eastern Oregon. I mean, that makes the Cascade Conference look great. That makes Eastern Oregon look great. That makes telling recruits. I mean, I told recruits about coming to Evergreen how well the steeplechase did at Eastern Oregon, because you can be done here. And so for someone like Izzy having a lot of success after Evergreen is going to just help us and her in the future. So when that transition doesn't change too much training design wise, but because you mentioned recovery, that important thing is making sure her mental health kind of moves from indoor to outdoor in a seamless transition.
And Izzy, turning to other events that you may be participating in conference. Obviously we will have the race walk there. You'll likely qualify for the NAIA race walk long before we get to conference. So you may or may not be taking part in that. It might depend on your training regime. But what other events are you planning on hopefully qualifying for and competing at conference at?
I think right now my primary focus is on the 10K. I think I have a good chance of qualifying in that, and I'm a little far off the 5K qualifying, but I think just how much I've improved in the 5K, I think it looks really good for me qualifying in the 10K. So.
And Joel, sometimes coaches always have something in the back of their mind of, yeah, that's great, but I also think you might do this too. Do you have any of that for Izzy planned?
Yeah, so we just share things with our athletes. So I mean, everything that's in the back of my mind unfortunately comes straight through the mouth. And so there's that good or bad. There's a couple things we talk about. One is just keeping that training going through the higher volume, getting through outdoor. The other is her running the 5K and 10K. I mean, we do think she can run a lot lower in the 18s and the 5K, and she'll be an easy qualifier for 10K for the conference meet, but also looking toward the fall. I mean, the cross country team at Evergreen, and I'll be careful saying this, is historically been pretty rough. And when we look at that women's cross country program, we want to qualify for nationals the team this fall, and I think we have returning six women and have recruits coming in that they can do that. And so we're also kind of looking at how do we juggle coaching Izzy not only to do well outdoors in the race walk and then USA outdoors in the race walk, but also how she can do well in the cross country season as well as the fall marathon. And that's kind of the where the back of the brain goes straight out the mouth. But she already knew all that. So yeah,
Well,
so just looking at that whole picture.
you mentioned the marathon, and we would be remiss not to acknowledge the national champion in the NAIA marathon.
Yeah, that went well for us as well. And we don't mind saying this out loud, but the top, three women make a team in the marathon. And Izzy qualified actually last year. We decided to be careful with, she had some hamstring stuff going on, but everything we're doing is really looking forward, like I said, outdoor, race walk outdoor, and then that fall marathon, fall cross country season. We don't see any reason why our women's cross country team can't be at nationals. And Izzy's a great part of that. One of the things I've been really proud of, and I'm glad to say this in front of her on a Zoom call, is when she was running 20, 50 in the 5K, 21 low in the 5K, we really thought that. I mean, to me, that's an elite athlete right here. And her dropping from 20:52 to 8:52, 18:52, really in the last 2 weeks, is her seeing what we see, which is this has always been a really epic race walker, but there's a really epic runner in there as well. And we're really excited about exploiting both of those.
Well, and congratulations to Alana Carstens who won that fall marathon.
Yeah.
We're hoping that that'll move from a special event back to a full-on NAIA national
Yeah,
championship.
for sure. Yeah.
Izzy, last question for you before we wrap up. Those of us in the Pacific Northwest, we view this as runner's mecca. Not knowing, what Maine is like or anything like that, did you feel that? What do you was there a big change when you came out west, and in particular Pacific Northwest, and the culture of running?
I think in a way, I think it's been like challenging, like getting used to, especially I came from a campus that was like very city. We had a mile block and that was the whole perimeter of the school. So coming here and just there's woods everywhere and mountains that we run up at practice, and it's that aspect of that I'm like, that's so wild to me. But no, I've enjoyed the change. I think it is a good change, and yeah.
You're not going to bring up the rain?
I am not a big fan of the
There's
rain.
been several days where it was several where it's raining, and the look on Izzy's face if I chose to come to the Pacific Northwest, and so the rain I think has been the biggest challenge.
Well, you will learn to love it if
I
you
hope
haven't already. You will learn to
so.
love it. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining this portion of our track and field preview. Izzy, again, congratulations on your national championship. Looking forward to seeing you at our conference championships in all the different events that you're going to be in. Hope you get a much needed break here over your spring break. And Joel, thank you so much for being on the program and the energy you bring to the conference in track and field.
Oh, of course. I love being here.
That'll do it for this part of our track and field preview. We'll be right back with our next set of guests. Welcome back to the program and our second half of the Cascade Collegiate Conference preview for track and field. I'm your host, Rob Cashel. Excited to be joined by Abby Stevens at Southern Oregon University and head coach Greer Gatlin. Welcome back to the program, you guys.
Thank you.
Well, Abby, we're going to start off first looking back to indoor, and congratulations on your national championship in the pentathlon.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Pretty exciting stuff. As we were following it online and watching all the events, I went back through our Cascade history, and you are the first ever Cascade Conference champion in the indoor pentathlon. So you made history.
Wow, I didn't even know that. That's crazy. Awesome.
Yes, congratulations.
Thank you.
13-time NAIA All-American and
Yeah.
national champion. And I happened to be at Southern for the basketball game where they brought you out and honored you in front of your teammates. But tell me a little bit about the pentathlon, and that event is grueling, and it's a 2-day event, and it came down to the wire. And I was talking to your coach. There was one running event where you knew you had to go all out.
Yeah, that 800, I was sitting in, I think, fourth, third or fourth going into that. And so I knew that if I wanted to actually win it, which I did, I had to really run my best and my hardest the whole time. So I was very nervous going into it, but it worked out. So it was good.
Well, tell me a little bit about that mindset when you go in. Obviously, track and field is a unique sport in the sense that, yes, you're racing against other people, but you're also racing the clock, you're racing against your own personal records and your own ability. Tell me what that is like when you're lining up on the 800 and you know, I've got to hit this time.
Yeah, it's especially the 800 is I get the most nervous for that one. I think also because that tends to be my better event. It helps me a lot when it comes down to it. At every time I've done a multi, it comes down to the 800 and placing. I get like my freshman year, I've jumped up like four places after the 800. So I just know the power that it holds, and I can't just let my mind like dog it. I have to really be engaged the whole time. And so, like, going into it, I knew that I had to beat the girl who was sitting in first by 7 seconds. So I was like, I have to just go all out, can't look behind me. Just got to stay committed the whole time. And so I was nervous, but I did it, and I'm proud of myself a lot, especially because my first 800 of the year, I wasn't very mentally there. I think because I had a really good day in high jump, and I was just like riding off of that. I was like, oh, I'll qualify, it's fine. So going into it, I was like, oh, hopefully I can still run a good 800. But I was able to do it, so it was awesome.
Well, that's great. And Greer, we've talked before, you and I, just about the lack of indoor facilities out west and getting really good competition for our student athletes leading up to nationals. Talk a little bit about what you do as a head coach to find those good events and get your athletes ready to roll.
When you have someone like Abby, you want to get them, just like on the basketball floor, if you got a really good shooter, you want to get them as many touches as possible, right? And Abby, being such a talented multi-event athlete, we want to try to facilitate an experience where she's going to have A, competition, and B, be able to, even if it's not in a multi-event competition, get her to some other meets so she can improve on some of those events and sets her up for that. But you're right. With the lack of facilities on the West Coast, it's been tough. So we've sent her to Spokane the last couple of years, but now that the University of Nevada over in Reno has their facility up and running online, that really helped us this year. So it was convenient to not have to, get in a plane and fly, up in the Pacific Northwest. You just get in a van and drive over and back. That really helped. And moving forward really helps West Coast track and field. But specifically, you want to get someone this talented as many opportunities as you possibly can. Unfortunately, the second time we tried to go down there, it didn't snow in Reno, it snowed here, and we couldn't leave. So, but moving forward, that's a huge asset for not only us, but the conference too.
Yeah, for sure. The podium you mentioned in Spokane, and then obviously if they have a new facility in Nevada, Reno, there used to be one over in Boise that is no longer. So yeah, it's tough to get competition. And then certainly Abby, go through the events in the pentathlon, because I don't know that everybody understands the wide array of events that you do.
Yeah, so it's just for the pentathlon, it's five events and it's one day. So you open up, the first one is gonna be the 60 meter hurdles. And then after that one, we go over to high jump. And that one usually takes a lot longer because high jump's one of those events. It's like pole vault for the men's deck, where it's a difficult one. Some people are really good, some people it's not their best event. So that one usually takes a while. And it usually, for me, because it's one of my better events, I don't get to jump for like at least an hour and a half. So that one takes a long time. And then after that, we go over to shot put. We each get three throws. And then after that, we head to long jump, three jumps. And then the last one, we close it off with the 800.
Yeah, so a wide variety of events and different muscle groups that you're using and preparation, et cetera. I think I said 2 days for the pent at the beginning of this, but you actually were an All-American in the high jump on day two as an individual event. So one of the things that's really intriguing to me, and I was talking to Greer last week, I said, man, how did you find Abby? And he laughed and he said, she found us, which is great. So how did you find Southern?
Yeah, so in 2020, my parents moved here from Wisconsin. So I grew up in Wisconsin. My freshman year of college, I went to a school in South Dakota, and I had to drop out after a term, and I moved back home. I had my son because I was pregnant, and then in 2020 we moved here, and I had my son. He was about 1 year old, and my dad was like, oh, there's like a college like 20 minutes away, let's walk around campus. And then he was like, you could like do sports again. I was like, yeah, no, that's probably never gonna happen again. And so then behind my back, actually, my mother hacked my email and emailed Greer on behalf of me asking if I could walk on the track team. And Mark, who was the assistant coach at the time, emailed me back. He's like, sure, we can have like a meeting and talk about it. And then initially I was like, yeah, like he said I could walk on, but I said I really just wanted a high jump. I was like, I don't really have time to do a lot. I just want a high jump. And then he's like, well, we could try the multi. And then I just kept trying it. And now 4 years later, I'm still still trying it. So
Man,
yeah.
what a
Good
great
job.
story.
Good job, Mark. Mark did a good job.
Yeah.
The subtle manipulation into doing other events.
Yeah.
Well, and the fact that your mom, what comes to my mind is, your mom catfished the Southern Oregon track team.
Oh, for real.
She
Yeah.
did.
Yeah, pretty neat. So you mentioned your son. So is your son 4 now, 5?
Yeah, he's 4 and a half and he'll be 5 in June.
And does he have the running bug and the jumping bug? Is he all over the place doing
He
everything
definitely is. Yes. All of his teachers are like, he's constantly sprinting and jumping, and he's just so excited to like do everything active. So it's awesome.
Great.
That's awesome. Yeah. We'll get a letter of intent ready to go, Greer.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I want to turn a little bit to outdoor because you obviously are gearing up for that as well and excel in outdoor as well. Tell me all the events that you'll do in outdoor season. Will you do the multis for outdoor as well?
Yeah, so I'll do the HEP. So that one's going to add on the same events as indoor plus javelin and the 200, and then the 60 hurdles becomes 100 meter hurdles. So I'll do all of those, and I'll probably do two multis, one at conference and one before conference, before nationals, hopefully.
And then will you do any of the individual events associated with that at the full meet?
Hopefully high jump. So that's my goal. And then we'll see what happens with the other ones if they go well.
And for our viewers, we actually run our multi events about 3 weeks, 4 weeks before the full outdoor meet. So you actually get to concentrate on that and not be looking ahead or looking over, oh, I'm supposed to be at high jump now when I'm trying to do the multis, et cetera. And Greer, this will be obviously we have our multis at the venue where we had our full meet the year before. So we'll be at OIT. So is there some different training because you'll be back at elevation again for the HEP?
No, we try not to change too much and take that, with elevation or extreme heat or extreme cold, we try to we try to make it as simplistic as possible. A, acknowledge that this is what we're doing, and some things might feel different. For example, I think Abby is a little harder on herself than maybe she needs to be with that 800 over in Reno. Part of it is when you're running at 4,500 feet of elevation and you haven't been trained, it's a little different when you haven't done that before on an indoor track. And so as we go over to Oregon Tech, and that's part of the equation, we'll certainly discuss it and maybe have a plan for that. But in terms of changing the overall strategy, no, because 99% of everything else will be not done there.
And Abby, your brother actually competes over at Oregon Tech, correct?
Yes, he does. He's a multi also.
So that's kind of an interesting dynamic because Southern and Oregon Tech are fierce rivals, and you've got this the Owl and Raider rivalry going on. But obviously, it's great for your folks to be able to watch both of you guys compete.
Yeah, they're huge fans. They always, every time they come to meets, one of them has to wear SAU stuff and one of them has to wear OIT stuff. And then my sister also, she goes to SAU and plays basketball here. So we'll all go to the games. And whenever we play OIT, I can't sit by my brother. I'm like, you have to sit somewhere else because I don't want to listen to you cheering for them. It actually enrages me. But
Good
yeah,
choice.
it's a fun dynamic.
Good choice.
Well, Greer, I want to turn to the outdoor meet, and Southern has hosted this a number of years. We have a little bit of a rotation within our league, and you guys do just a great job there hosting at Raider Stadium. It's a beautiful venue, but it's also a lot of work for the host. Sometimes I would bet at the end of the weekend, you're probably thinking, man, I wish I would have just been traveling because the host coach doesn't get to coach very much. You're
Yeah, not
hosting.
to do any of that. No.
But it's great for your athletes to be at home and all of that. So talk a little bit about as we are preparing for the outdoor full meet at your place, all the things that go into that.
Yeah, I think one of the things that being at a small college track and field coach, a few things that I have learned as I've been in, this is my 26th year as a coach now, which is weird because I'm only 25 years old. That is, you just become a professional travel agent. You become a professional event organizer. All these things that I had no idea were part of the job description. And so when you put on a giant meet like that, it is locating and assigning officials, getting their hotel rooms squared away, getting their pay squared away, figuring out who works best with whom, getting in touch with different officials associations, making sure that our business center and getting back to their pay and the officials are all working together so that everyone gets paid on time, and delineating all of that information to them, the meet schedule, what time it starts, who's doing weigh-ins, who's doing what. And you'll notice I haven't talked anything about any athletes yet. I've only talked about the officials. Where the buses park, as you and I know, we've talked about where do the buses park, where are the team tents going to be located, where is the athletic training facility going to be located, where the emergency vehicles come in and out of. So yes, there are a million different moving parts before we even get to talking about who's in heat one of the 100 hurdles. We don't even, I don't, I just have learned too. I really, I don't know if enjoy is the right, is the right term for it, but when it's working, it is quite satisfying to see that. It is hard at the end. I'm certainly, you're right. I am way more tired at the end of hosting the conference meet than I am traveling. When we drive back from Eastern, I'm happily drive the 9 hours in the, I'll drive the van the whole time. That doesn't bother me. I'd rather do that sometimes. But it is great to host that meet, especially for seniors. We aren't like football or basketball or softball. They get multiple times of competing at your home venue. So to have that big a meet, that important of a meet at the end of the year, and to host that and provide them that experience, that's really fun to watch. One of those ancillary benefits again of coaching. I don't know if I got into it for that, but certainly something I enjoy.
Well, and you mentioned kind of all the parts and pieces and watching it come together, and certainly it, I liken it to a little bit of like a play or a production or an orchestra, if you will.
Yeah.
When it's all working together, it's really kind of neat to see all the pieces coming together and working. And
Right.
usually that doesn't happen till about the third or fourth or fifth event on the first day, because it's
That's
still kind
right.
of craziness as we get
That's
going.
right.
But
Yeah.
then by that time, and then by the next day, we've hit our groove and things are going well.
Right.
Abby, you as a senior, tell me a little bit about your expectations for your outdoor season.
I've been obviously here at SAU for 3 years now, 4 years now, and I have yet to win anything at conference. I want to win conference. That's a huge goal of mine, for the multi and potentially high jump and even long jump. And then also, I'd really like to go back to nationals again for the hep and the high jump and win the heptathlon for outdoor. That's my main goal for this year for sure. Yeah.
That's awesome. Those are great goals to have, and obviously you've proven that you can accomplish that. So we're really looking forward to watching you compete, not only the rest of this season, but also leading up to the championships and at the championships. Greer, talk a little bit about your schedule for outdoor. And in particular for someone like Abby, to make sure that there's proper rest and recovery, and that what's all I've always been intrigued by kind of that ramp up of an athlete for track and field and cross country, where you don't get any do-overs, right? There's not a second quarter or a third quarter or a fourth
Right.
quarter.
No timeouts.
No timeouts. You might have a prelim, maybe, but usually at conference we're straight to finals. So
Right.
you've got to be on your game right then and there. So talk a little bit about that ramp up, and more importantly, the scale back for athletes. I've found over the years I've been involved in this that track coaches and cross country coaches spend as much time holding an athlete back as they do pushing them forward.
Right. Yeah. I'm still pushing at the coaches convention for them to let me have a timeout or two. I don't, it doesn't go over very well, but yeah, certainly, and with someone like Abby, putting them in the outdoor season, a 2 day event, it's grueling physically and mentally. And so trying to figure out, well, when can we do this in conjunction with having to also then do the Cascade Conference multi-event championships, then having to do the Cascade Collegiate Conference, the big meet championships and nationals. And when do you fit in, what meet then do you go to? Because, the one thing, like for example, after the national championships in indoor this year, we had a meet outdoor the next weekend, and her and our All-American pole vaulter Carson Lavelle, you know, I learned about 10 or 15 years ago, you don't take them the next week. It's too, just the travel, it's too hard. So give them a week off, and trying to splice those recovery weeks in is really important. And but then also, when do you push? And so her main event coach, Joseph Dotson, who does a really, he was a multiple time All-American for us, does a really good job of sitting down and kind of, hey, this is sort of the shell of how the season's going to look. And we're going to, you know, emphasize this at this meet. And, you know, we, I think Abby's even been experimenting. She's doing some 400 meter hurdle workouts, because that's doing some training maybe for the 800, and then also helping her hurdle. And it's kind of a way to kill two birds with one stone. And it's kind of in it from a coaching standpoint, it's really interesting having multi-event athletes, and they're doing something different all the time and trying to figure out those things. But you're right too, Rob, in that the last 3 to 4 weeks of the year is really just trying to convince everyone that we're downshifting. You know, we don't need to be in fifth gear all the way through to the plane ride back to Marion, Indiana. We need to be in third gear at that point during the week so that we can be in fifth gear on Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, and Abby, last question about heading into nationals. I mean, I think prior to last year, we were down in Gulf Shores, and then last year we were at Marion. Very different climate, different atmosphere, more of like an Olympic village. I gotta believe student athletes liked that atmosphere.
Yeah, I definitely, because my first year we were still at Gulf Shores, and the last 2 years we've been in Indiana, and I've really enjoyed being at Indiana and being on campus, having food on campus, not having to leave or drive 40 minutes to the meet. It also like helps you to support your teammates a lot easier because you're a lot closer to the meet, and you kind of know what's going on. And it gives you like more chance to be around the track and kind of adapt before you actually have to compete and kind of get a layout of the land. I really like it a lot, actually. It's a really cool experience for sure.
And I know the coaches like it for what you said, that shuffling of athletes back and forth to hotels, and it hour and a half, 2 hour round trip sometimes, getting people where they need to be. So that's awesome. Well, Abby and Greer, thank you so much for joining the program. Again, Abby, congratulations on your national championship. No doubt in my mind, you'll be on the podium at the Cascade Conference events, and then hopefully again at nationals. So thank you guys so much for joining.
Thank you.
Thank you.
On behalf of Director Courtney Blummer and host Robert Cashel, thanks for tuning in to Cascade Connects, the official podcast of the Cascade Collegiate Conference, 15 championships, and over 3,000 student athletes. This is the CCC.